from the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Welcome to the Everything Lydia Radio Show, where you're challenged to check your ordinary at the door and live a more remarkable life. Your host, Lydia Shevardowski, does it all. She's a lawyer, a black belt, philanthropist, and a beauty queen who is working for you. And you can hear just about everything and anything on the Everything Lydia Radio Show, from politics to pocketbooks, every Wednesday night at 6:30, only on WGBB 1240 AM or online at www.am1240wgbb.com. Now, your host, Lydia.
And greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Everything Lydia Radio Show. I am your host, Lydia Shevardowski, and tonight we are going to learn all about the history of our Long Island State Parks, and we're going to hear why they're looking a little tired, whether there's anything we can do to fix them up, and we're going to get a little bit of information about unions. And joining me tonight to talk about these and other issues is someone who has been the president of CSEA, Local 102, for the past 32 years. My guest started working for New York State in about 1978, and today he currently oversees 30 locations from Valley Stream State Park to Montauk State Park. He's in charge of all the tradesmen, such as carpenters, plumbers, painters, etc., as well as the park workers and civilians that work for the park police. My guest is also the chairman of the Statewide Labor Management Committee. He's a member of the Statewide Standing Legal Committee and Political Action Committee. My guest this evening is Paul DeLeo. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Lydia.
So good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you inviting me back.
Let me tell you, I love hearing your stories. Anytime you have someone that's been involved in a particular career, industry, or whatever, you have stories that you can't match.
I like to tell you stories.
Well, we're going to hear some of them, so I can't wait. So, you know, first and foremost, you are the president of the CSEA Local 102. Could you tell us, what is the CSEA and what's its purpose?
CSEA is a Civil Service Employees Association. Mm-hmm. We represent the public service employees that run the parks, and not just the parks, the Department of Transportation, the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority. Mm-hmm. There were 70,000 CSEA workers, state workers, town, county, and various municipalities.
It's the largest union, correct, in your
state? It's the largest state union, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We are affiliated with AFSCME, which is the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, which is 48 states wide. Mm-hmm. That's like our mother union now.
Okay.
And with that, we carry a lot of political clout.
Right. Well, you know, I did a little research about unions themselves, and it's my understanding that particularly with focusing on Long Island, back in, I guess it was the, I could be wrong on these dates, 40s and 50s, there were a lot of immigrants that were coming in to Long Island, particularly Italian Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming here, and there was actually a lot of discrimination. They had a difficult time trying to find jobs and so on and so forth. Yada, yada, yada. Moving forward a little bit, the unions were actually formed to help with basically all work issues, safety, for example, wages, and things like that, helping with nepotism. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. And, you know, a lot of people have unions all lumped into one big melding pot.
Right.
And, you know, CSEA takes care of public workers.
Mm-hmm.
Public workers, which are not the highest paid people in the world.
And what would you say is the average yearly salary for
average
a...
average median salary would probably be about $24,000.
Right.
Okay? Now, $24,000, and a lot of the misnomer, the government
right.
is telling you,
yeah.
you know, like our governor and our legislators, that we're overpaid and that we retire with these golden parachutes. You know, that's really a crock.
Well, you know, I get the sense that, or at least I had the sense that really that the focus was not necessarily unions per se, which they should clarify. That's the whole issue here, is that not all unions are created equally, in my opinion,
true.
I don't think. Is that when you're looking at certain teachers, for example, all right? They're making a decent amount of money, which is great, and I have no problem with that, but there are certain individuals who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? They retire, they get their pension, now they start working for another school district, now they're getting their second pension. I mean, they retire and they're making $500,000 a year for the rest of their lives, somewhat tax-free, but, you know. So I think that maybe, I'm so glad you're talking about this because I want people to understand that just because it's a union, unions are not all the same.
No, not all unions are created equally, okay?
Right.
We're not, you know, we're not the Teamsters.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the United Auto Workers. We're not the Longshoremen. You know, this union was formed to protect,
mm-hmm.
like you said, the small worker, all right?
Mm-hmm.
People who couldn't really... And that's one of the reasons why I got involved when I did, because I saw people that were being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a local back then, so I had basically formed a local. And we got a disciplinary process in place, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we treated people a lot more humanly.
Right.
Because before we came in, you know, management would just say, you know, you've done wrong, goodbye, there's the door, leave, you know.
Right.
Now, you know, now we put a disciplinary process in place where, you know, it's like the three-strike rule, you know, it's like disciplining a child.
Right.
You smack them on the wrist, you smack them on the butt, and then, you know, you get a little more serious as the infractions keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what the union does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's collective bargaining. We try to bargain for raises and rights and hospitalization and, you know, all that stuff is lumped in there. But, you know, like I said, the misnomer that we are high-paid employees...
That's ridiculous.
It really is.
Well, that's why when I was reading that there were, obviously, with Cuomo recently, there were some major wage and benefit concessions, right?
I would say, you know, I sat on the statewide negotiating team for three terms. And for the three terms I sat on there, the front end, they're four-year contracts, the front end of those contracts, we got two zeros,
mm-hmm.
which we did in our last contract, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cuomo was saying that the state worker's making too much money, we need to close the deficit in New York State, and, of course, where does he turn? He turns our backs.
Mm-hmm.
And what he ended up doing, and the courts ruled it illegal, but it's done, and it goes to the state Supreme Court, state being, you know,
mm-hmm.
the word here, and nothing really happens with it. We took two zeros in the beginning.
Right.
We picked up more of our hospitalization costs. They wanted to take away vacation days and sick time. And that's what a lot of these people, you know, they knew that the pay scale wasn't the greatest, but the benefits were good.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Well, now they're taking away those bennies. And we're talking about, like I said, the average salary is probably $24,000.
How can anyone live on $24,000 a year?
The top salary is probably $30,000. You know, $24,000 a year. Let's talk about $30,000.
Yeah.
What's that? $2,500 a month.
Yeah.
That's not a mortgage payment.
Right.
Yet these people have to pay their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to pay their insurances, whatever bills they have. They got to try to raise a family, send kids to college.
Yep.
So they inevitably have to work two jobs.
Right.
And that gets in the way of what the state wants to consider their main job.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that they did get was time. So they would take, you know, a vacation day here and there, and a lot of the tradesmen especially, would take a Friday or Monday because they could do a side job in 3 or 4 days and make what they make in 2 weeks working for the state.
Right.
And the state took umbrage to that and started bringing them up on time and attendance charges. Enter the union, we got to go defend these guys.
Right.
You know, we've made a case
mm-hmm.
that it's because of the poor wages and these people need to subsidize their income.
Is this pending now or?
No, it's an ongoing thing.
Oh, okay.
It's been going on for years.
Yeah.
It's going on for years.
Well, that's interesting because then we had the forced vacation, correct, without pay, that issue that came up?
Well, one of the things that the governor put on us was, it was called DRL, Deficit Reduction Leave.
Right.
Where he gave us, what he basically did was lock us out of the workplace. place for 9 days.
Right.
But, you know, he was magnanimous enough to say, I'm going to let you choose what days you can take off. Okay? So, basically, he took 9 days pay. Now, you take somebody who's making $24,000, and you take almost 10 days pay away from him, that's probably the equivalent of a 3% raise.
Right.
So now, we get a zero, and we give 3% back. So, you know, we're not changing with the times. We're not keeping up with the cost of living.
Right.
You know, we back in the, you know, these people could be eligible and probably are eligible for subsidies and oil during the winter and food stamps. And but a lot of them are too proud to even go and apply for that because they figure we're working people.
Right.
You know, we shouldn't have to do that.
I can understand that because my parents, both being Polish immigrants, my father was in the Carpenters Union, which is, again, a little different. It's a private union. But they never, even during the difficult times when there was no construction, no building, my dad was just, you know, looking to work wherever he could and make a couple of bucks to put food on the table. Never did he ever receive food stamps, never received any type of subsidy, nothing.
Well, like I said, many of these people are too proud to do
that. Yeah, that's what it was.
You mean they were eligible for it,
And
it is ridiculous. I mean, you know, and then they talk about these golden parachutes that these people retire with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, if they retire with $20,000 a year, I don't call that a golden parachute.
I wouldn't call that a golden parachute.
I call that like a lead parachute that's rigged not to open and you're just going to fall and plummet to earth and die. You know,
well,
nobody
like I said,
cares about
it. It's exactly what I mentioned earlier when they're talking about, what they should be specifically talking about and maybe addressing are the individuals who are indeed making, who do have golden, and there are some, but
yes,
not in, for example, we're not dealing with the CSEA. There are no people that I know of.
Well, you know, I can't say, and there are people in CSEA that are in higher paid positions, but still, they're not retiring with golden parachutes. You know, there are people in the engineering department, but, you know, they're not getting paid what an engineer on the outside would get paid.
Exactly. Well, that's the misconception out there, and it's I guess being the daughter of someone who was a blue collar worker, my mom stayed home. I can understand where you're coming from. You know, people work hard. They just want to have an honest living. They want to be able to pay their bills. Maybe put some money aside for their kids for college. And it's as simple as that.
Well, maybe let's talk about the legislators that backed Cuomo in his last stint. Mm-hmm. These guys. A legislator works part-time. They work 6 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And poor them, they only make $80,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or $78,000, I think that's what they make. But they own their own businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Owen Johnson. He's been a senator for 40 years. He owns an insurance company. He sells houses, and he makes his $78,000 as a senator. And he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
These are the people that backed Cuomo when he wanted to do this deficit reduction leave and take our pay away.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, you know, three contracts I've sat on negotiations. The first one was back in 1999. And we walked away with two zeros, like I said, in the first 2 years of that contract. And right after we settled that contract, the legislators voted themselves a 38% raise. All right? So now, we're making concessions. We're saying, okay, the state is suffering. We're going to do something to help people out.
Right.
And we're not going to take a raise in the beginning.
Yeah.
And they vote themselves a 38% raise.
Well, you took money out of your pocket and gave it to them.
Yeah. Well, not this last time. Right after, you know, this shortly after Cuomo gets into office.
Yeah.
You know, and believe me, he's worse than his dad ever was. He gets into office, he gets the backing of the legislators, they do this DRL, this duty reduction leave, and they get more in hospitalization costs, and then, in the dark of night, when all is said and done, and everybody's finally put to rest, they put themselves in for a raise again. They put themselves in for, I think it was an 18 or a 22% raise, and it almost went through. until the unions cried out and said, you know, Andrew, what are you, stupid? You know, I mean, you're killing the workforce, and now you're going to give these legislators, because they're your cronies, a raise?
Yeah.
And he thought better of it, and he said, yes, maybe this isn't the right time to do another raise.
Right.
But, I mean, this is the mindset of these people.
Yeah.
You know? What are we?
Well, it's bizarre, because you would almost think that they know this information and they have access to this information.
Yeah, but we're substandard human beings to them.
Why? Why is that?
I don't know, because they think they
want
are
me to go go talk to Andrew Foy.
Yeah, you know him in a first name.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but no, I'm the most fair person in the world. That's the bottom line, and you know what? What's fair is fair, and that's not fair. What you were just describing.
It's not.
So,
fair.
And look, I'm not. That's not to say. I mean, I'm sure their position is something along the lines of, we haven't received raises, and however many. I'm guessing. I could be wrong. There's always, being a lawyer, there's always two sides of the story.
There's two sides to every story.
Right. Right.
There's yours and the truth.
Yeah. So, but still, it just doesn't seem fair. It's as simple as that. So.
Yes, it isn't fair, and you know, I mean, they've got to do something to help. You know, just the general public has to realize, you know, we're the people that keep the roads running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the guys that work for DOT. They're some of the lowest paid workers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that make $20,000 a year. They're the ones repairing potholes.
Right.
While you're zipping by them at 60 miles an hour, or while you're caught in a traffic jam because they're working on the road trying to make it more accessible for you, and you're flipping them the bird and beeping your horn and calling them names, you know, and being in harm's way every day.
Yeah.
They're the ones that can't, well, during the winter, they have to clear the roads. They have to be on call.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're on call, that means you can't go home and sit in front of your television set and have a beer,
mm-hmm,
because you're in a sensitive position where you need a CDL license.
Yeah.
And you basically are held captive.
Right.
So they give you on-call pay.
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess at how much it is to be on call, to sit home.
I'm afraid. Tell me.
$15.
Oh,
they give them $15 to sit by the phone and wait. No, and wait to see if they're going to come into work.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
well,
it really is. And then we have my guys, the people that work in the parks.
Yeah.
You know, and we run the full gambit. Like you said earlier, we have carpenters, mm-hmm, electricians, plumbers, and they do a bang up job.
Yeah.
When I first started, there were 60% more people on the payroll than they are now. Because every time there's a state deficit, they take it out on the back of the state worker, they've reduced the workforce by 60%. Yet we have more parks than we did when I first started working. Yeah?
Mm.
When I first started working, we had 20 locations. Now I believe we have 31.
Mm.
Some of them are undeveloped parks, but there's, you still have to clear fire trails and make the place accessible for anyone who wants to go in there. Once it's state property, you have the right to go in and
right,
walk a nature trail, if that's what you want to call it.
Right.
That are the fire trails. So they have to be manned.
Right.
So, you know, we take one or two people and we put them there, and that's putting these people at risk. Because if you don't, you know, something happens, you're clearing trees and a limb falls on you, and the one other person that's working with you is a half a mile away someplace.
Right.
What do? You lay there, and, you know, so reducing the workforce isn't really the way to go.
Well, you know, ironically, there's almost, what, 20 million visitors annually in our Long Island State Parks, and the amount of, what's the income that the parks generate? It's, what was it about? I had that number a little while ago. I think it's like
statewide, it was like $1.6 billion.
Yeah, $1.6 billion.
That's statewide.
So here they have this great income producing industry, if you will, right? And like you said, they cut the workforce by 60%. They're opening up more parks, and there's not enough people to take care of them. Right?
Well, yes. Well, years ago, there used to be a toll on the Southern State Parkway.
Right.
Right. And before we became Long Island State Parks and Recreation and Historic Preservation, it was the Long Island Parks Commission.
Mm-hmm.
The commission got its revenue to pay the employees that worked on Long Island from that toll.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they took down the toll. because people were complaining that 10 cents to go to some of these beautiful locations or even just to travel home from work was too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget about what you pay now to go over the Verrazano Bridge. It's about $14
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, crazy.
But when they had that toll, they paid the workers and we were able to keep that 60% of people that I told you were gone on the payroll. Mm-hmm. And the parks were in pristine. They still are. Yeah. I mean, we have people who are very proud of what they do, and they take care of the locations to the best of their ability.
They can only do so much, and there's only so many of you guys, and it's hard that you could work 24 hours, and if there's just not enough people, then there's going to be, unfortunately, you know, closures, like the, you know, Jones Beach, the bathhouses, right? There were
yes.
closures everywhere, but
they just
can't take care of it.
The pool at Hexer State Park.
Yeah.
Largest pool on Long Island, 1.5 million gallons, they closed it.
Right.
There's two pools at Jones Beach. They closed one of them. They closed the band shell over there.
Yeah.
There are a number of things that the campground over at Hexer, mm-hmm. which was something, you know, if you wanted to take your kids away, not go away, but take them camping for a weekend,
right.
was 10 minutes away from home.
Exactly.
So if you had a lightning storm or something, boom, you're in the car, you're back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
They closed that. And these are things that, you know, people really appreciate it.
Right.
Now, you know, you get the public, they walk into the parks, they see the grass is a little higher, and it's, oh my God, what are you doing? You're not cutting the grass. Well, we don't have the people to do it.
Exactly.
You know? Just like if you look at the shoulder on the road, I don't know if you noticed, they only cut back 8 feet off the roadway now.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that for safety purposes in case you pull over on the side of the road so your hot muffler doesn't set the place mm-hmm. on fire. But they used to be able to, you know, cut back into the woods and pick all the papers. So now you drive down the roads and, you know, it's embarrassing to people that come from out of state to see some of the stuff that they do. It's you know, they see
it's
garbage and it really is.
It really is. Well, for those of you who are just joining us now, my guest this evening is Paul DeLeo, president of CSEA Local 102. When we're discussing unions, the state parks, Long Island, well, I should say Long Island State Parks and various items like that. And, you know, let's go talk about something fun for a second. Because it's just, you know, it's kind of sad, I have to tell you, hearing what the reality of these hardworking people that get paid, you know, $24,000 approximately a year. And, getting treated this way and being concerned about their job being cut. Just, you know what I'm saying? And then you have all of these other places where, in my opinion, certainly that where the cuts are more warranted as opposed to places where people on Long Island can go and it just, you know, we're known for our parks.
Lydia, we have some beautiful locations.
We do.
I mean, you could go to Planet Fields Arboretum
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just walk around for hours and see beauty. Mm-hmm. I mean, flowers and trees that were brought over from all over the world. You could go to Bayard Cutting Arboretum in Oakdale.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was one thing that awed me when I used to work there was the rhododendron walk.
Mm-hmm.
They have this walkway cut through giant rhododendron bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're walking through a tunnel of rhododendrons.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just beautiful.
Isn't it sad that I haven't been to... No, I've been to one of them. I haven't been to the other one that I've lived here my whole life.
You look at some of the architecture and the work that, you know, these places were donated, Bayard Cutting, of course, by Bayard
mm-hmm.
Cutting,
right.
donated to the state. And you walk into the building and you're in awe. I mean, you just look at the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
You look up at the ceilings, everything is hand-carved.
Mm.
And years ago, when we had the staff, and as I mentioned earlier, some of them were from the other, you know, the old country, the carpenters that were Dutch and we brought on, and the Italians who were great masons,
mm-hmm.
you know, they came by, and they built the East Bathhouse at Jones Beach, the West Bathhouse.
Beautiful architecture.
Yeah,
and did
mosaic tile work
mm-hmm.
like you couldn't believe.
Mm.
Now, you know, the guys we have now are talented also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to diss them, but the talent isn't of the same caliber.
Right.
And if you do have a person of that caliber, he just doesn't have the time
mm-hmm.
to, like, make the repairs. So a lot of people are saying, why are these places in such disarray? Why does it look so terrible? Well, you know, down. Talk to your governor. Talk to your legislators.
Yeah.
Say, why are you, you know, taking this away from us? And that's what they're doing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And now, especially in this day and time, when bucks are so hard, people are trying to do staycations rather than vacations.
Mm-hmm.
They want to stay home and play in their own backyard.
Right, right.
And, you know, you're doing that in a place where it doesn't necessarily look as nice as it used to. I mean, you could go to Jones Beach, and it used to be such a pristine, beautiful place. Still is. But it's run down.
Mm-hmm. You know, tired.
Yeah, you walk past the bathhouses and you see they need to be painted.
Right.
We don't have all the painters we used to have.
Right.
You know,
right.
The sidewalks are cracked. Yeah, the masons are working as hard as they could. This time of year, especially, the roads are blowing up. The sidewalks are cracking.
Yeah.
You know, they just can't keep up with it.
Right.
You know, you have a million visitors a weekend at Jones Beach walking on the boardwalk.
Hmm.
Monday, you look, and there are carpenters all over the place just repairing what's worn down from people being there walking on it.
Yeah.
And they just can't keep up. But, you know, we're right. still the small guys, and they're going to keep picking on us.
You know what? I think also that, despite the fact that I know that there were a couple of million dollars that went to repair certain things at certain specific parks, I do know that. But, now, I don't know, is part of that budget, does it pay for the employees to actually do the work as well? Do you know?
Yes. And there are federal grants that come in every now and then, too, you know?
Well, they have to be. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you generate $1 billion and a half dollars.
A lot of these federal grants during the winter, I mean, you go to Robert Moses, come summertime, they're replacing the beach all the time.
Yeah.
Because during the winter, the erosion from the storms washes away the beach almost to the point where, it was, I think, 8 years ago, I went over to Robert Moses after a good storm,
mm-hmm.
and there was like a 12-foot cliff.
Wow.
About 20 feet away from the needle. You know, the big water tower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
They had to get the Army Corps of Engineers come in and replace all this beach.
Right.
And that's where most of that federal money goes. It doesn't go to paying the employees. It goes to, you know, normal erosion and upkeep like that.
Yeah, I can only... But like I said, I keep repeating myself, but it still blows my mind that it's such an income-generating industry. Our parks and our beaches and everything.
Yeah, well,
and it's so beautiful. I mean, you can't... Look, we've traveled many places, I'm sure, and I mean, I've traveled, other than in the Caribbean in some places, you don't see that. You just don't see it in anywhere else in the world. And they're so beautiful, so unique, so just special. And
yeah,
the fact that we don't really...
Well, like I said,
you know,
when we had that toll on the Southern State, that money went back into the parks.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, you know, a tile out of place or a cracked board any place. Now the money goes into a general fund.
Right.
Okay? The general fund is then done or overseen by the Department of Budget up in Albany,
mm-hmm.
and they rack up this pie.
Yeah.
And when they're looking at essential services, they don't see parks and recreation as an essential service.
No.
So we get the smallest sliver of the pie, you know? But
ironically, it shouldn't be, you can't look at it that way. Because you know what? Look, I know social services and, you know, people need help with whatnot, but there's something to be said for being able to go to a park and relax on your day off and, like you said, do the staycation and enjoy your home and where you are and it's just, that's what I grew up with, you know?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, forget the rules and regulations and all and the laws and everything that restrict everything now. That's killing me, too, because you can't do anything.
Well, it's a shame.
You can't do anything.
It's a shame that our legislators and our governor have the people out there thinking that, you know, we're raping them and taking all their money for doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there are guys that come into my office, contractually, you're supposed to work within your title.
Right.
You're a carpenter, you do carpentry. You're an electrician, you do electrical work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have guys coming into my office on almost a daily basis wanting to file a grievance because they're crossing those boundaries. We have electricians that are ripping walls down, which is carpenter work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and years ago, we used to be able to say, well, you're taking somebody's work away. You
mm-hmm.
can't do that. But now I tell them, hey, guys.
There's no one else to do it.
Yeah, you know, and to hear... Come out of the mouth of your president, it's lucky you have a job right now, right. is, you know, isn't what I should be telling them. But unfortunately, you know, you've got to do what you got to do to survive.
Right.
And this is what you have to do.
Right.
And it's a shame what it's become. And you know what? If they just put that toll back on, and I only got 50 cents.
Well, you know what? When you go upstate, is it on the thruway? They have now those modern kind of whatever the case may be. The solar panels,
the electronic, yes.
You drive under, and it automatically takes the money out of your Easy Pass. Is that right?
And it's just like
doesn't stop traffic.
No, you don't even drive to a toll booth. Yes.
I volunteer to pay money going back and forth on the parkways, Southern State and Northern State, for that purpose. Just so you know.
Okay, so you know what we do then?
Maybe we should talk about that.
Let us start a petition.
Hey, you know
what? And we'll say, what are you doing?
Well, you know, even if it's whatever it is, 10 cents, 25 cents, there's so much traffic. I mean, I don't know if they can, I guess they could still do it, but I don't see why there'd be a problem, even if it's during certain hours of the day, you know, maybe not in rush hour times or something, I don't know.
No, they don't have to collect, you know, all day long, but
still,
people
it's
just,
be.
What took it down was the people complaining that it was slowing down traffic.
Yeah. Well, in any event, be that as it may. So, all right, so guess what? It's time.
It's time. We never got to talk about fishing.
I know. I wanted to talk a little bit about fishing, about what's going on in Jones Beach with the guy who, went out to sea, even though we can't talk about it. And now he's in Florida. I mean, crazy things like that. But in any event, Paul, if someone wants to get in touch with you, if, you know, they have a union question, CSEA, or if they just want to hear about parks or any historical things, how can they get in touch with you?
They could call my office at 669-6982, or they could email me at local102prez@aol.com.
That's P-R-E-Z?
P-R-E-S.
P-R-E-S.
Yeah, we're not that fancy.
I know. All right. Thank you again, Paul, for joining me tonight.
I appreciate you having me back.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. And you'll come back again. We'll pick up where we left off with some
about
fishing, right? You know. So that's it for tonight. And I welcome everyone to please tune in to the Everything Lydia Radio Show next week and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. right here on WGBB, 12:40 a.m. or streaming live and via webcam at www.am1240wgbb.com. And remember to go check your ordinary at the door and go live that remarkable life. See ya!